for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Mm.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hello, listeners. I know that you might be feeling a lot of things after the season 2 finale. You are free to send all of your feelings to our Q&A box, which should now be open. In the meantime, I have something for you, to hopefully ease the sting. A while ago, some of the team members who work on Neighbourly sat down with some of the folks behind Strong Branch Productions as part of their Strong Branching Out actual play series to play a game of One Last Job by Grant Howitt. This is the first part of that game. For the second part, please search for Strong Branching Out on your podcatcher of choice. And now, allow me the pleasure of introducing the Kings of Brooklyn Island.
Hey everyone, welcome to Strong Branching Out, the show where we at Strong Branch Productions bring on a guest podcast to play a game with us. I'm Alex Kingsley, your host, and with me from Strong Branch Productions is Grace Griego. Say hi.
Hey!
Tell us who you are.
Hi, I'm Grace Griego. I use she, her pronouns, and you might recognize me as the voice of Stella Thomas from Stench of Adventure, and I'm also the producer of that show.
And today on our show are some guests from Neighbourly.
Woo!
Friends from Neighbourly? Going to have you introduce yourselves. Let's start with James.
Hi, I'm James. My pen name is J.R. Steele, and I'm a writer, and I do transcripts and just general stuff for Neighbourly.
Great. Emily?
My name is Emily Lauris. You will also hear me call myself Saf. I use she, they pronouns, and I am a writer at Neighbourly. I am a music contributor, and I do some transcripts.
And Al?
Hi, I'm A.L. Withington, or Al for short. I am one of the writers for Neighbourly, and general busybody. If something needs doing and if everyone else is busy, I am the body that does the thing.
Yeah.
Every podcast needs one of those. And of course, my nemesis, another Alex.
I'm Alex. They, them pronouns, and I write all the music for Neighbourly, and I've written a couple of episodes, and you will see some more in season 2, which comes out, I don't know when.
It'll be out. You'll
It'll
find
be out
it.
Eventually.
I believe it. I have faith. We are in a very similar boat. Season 2, it's happening. It'll be out.
Maybe the real season 2 of our podcast It's the friends we made along the way, really.
Oh, I knew that was coming. I was like, is it the friends?
It's always the friends.
Well, we're some friends that you made along the way, because prior to all of us being podcasters, we did not know each other, and now we are brought together by the world of indie podcasting. Woo! Speaking of which, the podcast we're making right now, we are going to be playing One Last Job by Grant Howitt. It is a crime slash heist TTRPG about criminals who have retired and are coming back together for one last job. And what's really cool about this game is, unlike most TTRPGs, you do not make your character in advance, you don't make the world in advance, you don't make anything in advance. We do it all together and we build the story together, which means before we even begin, we need to decide on a few things as a group. First thing, what setting do we want to play in? Where do you guys want to be?
Ooh. So I have been sitting on this since we talked a little bit beforehand. What if we were post-apocalyptic newsies? But we've all long retired from being newsies.
Oh my goodness!
So like, once we were newsies, and now what has become of us?
Is this a bad time to say
that I've never watched Newsies?
I also haven't. So
I am literally going to be the one person who knows Newsies inside and out,
which I think makes it so much better. Yeah. Truly,
I think the best way to produce anything related to Newsies is when only a single person actually knows anything about Newsies.
Wow. Yeah.
But yeah, that's just what I'm throwing on the table. I would love to hear anything else.
How does the gang feel about that? Any alternate proposals? Or is everyone feeling really great about post-apocalyptic Newsies?
I'm down. I feel like it's important to say I was just in Newsies. And so if I start crying during recording / half joke, don't worry, it's fine.
It will actually be our goal to make you start crying. Oh, so yeah. Everyone, well, be aware. That's hard. If you win the game, is make James cry.
Wow.
That's not hard.
It's
actually on page 83 of the rulebook. It's in very it's small print.
Yeah, it is like, written into the game.
Clarification, a newsie is a little guy who delivers the newspapers?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. In the 1920s specifically.
That's what I thought.
Well, Newsies itself takes place in 1899.
Whoa.
Are you serious?
That's so
it
old.
Does. It actually
this
took
is just
place.
More proof that I know nothing about Newsies.
It just, well, the Newsies strike actually just ended after our first weekend of Newsies.
Whoa.
In 1899. So it was just, it just happened the 30th-ish was when it ended. So.
Wow.
Yeah. That's bonkers.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That is so cool.
And we weren't originally going to perform it then either. We were going to perform it in April of 2020. So, yeah. Fun stuff. Anyway.
Wow.
That's spicy.
Well, good thing there was a pandemic.
I'm saying.
Okay, great. I'm not hearing anyone saying, no, different theme. So I think that's what we're going to go with. James, yeah. You will be expected to do your newsy voice. I hope you know that.
Oh, I'm going to. Less newsy.
And everyone else will be expected to do their best impression of a newsy voice. I'm looking forward to hearing.
Does this mean I have to try and do an American accent?
Yes, it is.
Oh, no.
We live in Brooklyn. I don't do a good Brooklyn accent either.
This is going to be hideously offensive. I'm so sorry.
Probably.
You don't need to worry about offending
you
Americans.
You can't offend the Brooklyn.
No, please don't worry about
Americans offend
Americans.
Themselves.
I'm English. I'm sorry.
If there's any demographic that it's really okay to offend, I'm going to go with New Yorkers.
Probably. Well, everyone imitates New Yorkers.
Just go at them.
The thing is that I'm an American person always acting as a British person who is going to attempt to act as a New Yorker, and that's going to be interesting.
So many
we'll
layers.
We'll see about that.
That was so many locations.
It's a lot of things.
There's
I did
layers
not even,
to it.
I didn't
There's
follow the logic.
Layers. Yeah.
So James, many layers. Much like Shrek,
I'm like,
it's like an onion.
Yeah.
James is like Shrek, who is like an onion.
This is
great start so far.
Fantastic. So now that we've decided where we're going to be, we have decided on four abilities that we have as post-apocalyptic newsies. So what kind of abilities do you think a post-apocalyptic newsie would have?
I feel like getting people to listen to them might be one. And yeah. I'm thinking this because of the read all about it kind of vibes.
Yeah. So
I like that as an idea.
I like that. I'm going to go with a skill called read all about it.
Yeah.
Which is getting people's attention.
Yeah.
I have another one, which is stamina, because they had to sell papers every single day, no matter what the weather, all day, get all their papers sold. So yeah, stamina.
Thank you for being our newsies historian.
I read a lot about it. It's fine.
We got stamina. And so what does the skill of stamina do? Is it like extra strength? Is it like constitution kind of?
We could call it leaping about.
I like that.
Like little newsies.
Like little newsies. Leaping
like
about.
Like little newsies.
I really want there to be a curveball that's like very post-apocalypse.
Mm. Like
hardened survivalist or something.
Radiation immunity.
Glowing. We're all just, we can glow in the dark.
Glowing.
Glowing.
You glow in the dark.
That's why these kids are the newsies. Is because they're the ones who got all the radiation and now they glow in the dark.
Oh my goodness.
Nice. So people can see them. Do you want to go with radiation immunity and glowing?
So,
oh my goodness.
Because we have to think about like what these abilities would be used for. I think this those could, point. If we fall under, if it's like survived the apocalypse, it would be like that'll be our glowing, but also like ridiculous feats or acts of survival or like dealing with terrain.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So just one blanket newsies in the apocalypse skin.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. What do we want to call that?
Maybe like survived the apocalypse, because
survived the apocalypse.
Yeah,
we did it.
We did it again. Did it.
See, my brain is just singing that one song where it's like, I'm a survivor. that one. That was not enough of it to get an idea.
No, the one.
We got it.
That I remember from primary school discos.
That's the one.
And then we get one more skill.
Like winning smile. You give a little smile and
charisma.
You charm people.
That would be
like,
cute.
Hey,
a little,
we can
buy a paper from just me. A little guy.
Just a little guy.
Just a little fella.
Just a little fella.
Are we still little fellas?
I'm just
That's a
little
great
guy.
Question.
It's post-apocalyptic. We could
oh,
be.
Oh, true.
I do love the idea that while it is post-apocalyptic and you are all hardened survivors, you are all also still
12.
Little fellas.
Yeah, we're 12. All little
guys.
I like winning smile.
Winning smile. It's very cute.
Am I winning smile?
So our skills are read all about it. That is the getting people's attention, getting people's buy-in, a skill, sort of like persuasion, I think. Leaping about, your physical skill, kind of like constitution and strength. Survived the apocalypse is our overarching skill for feats, survival, all of that, anything that's like, whoa, because that's a really good descriptor. I'm a game designer, can't you tell? And then winning smile, which is kind of our equivalent of charisma, because y'all are just cute little fellas.
Yeah.
And you can go, golly gee, I'm a newsie.
Oh my goodness.
I know, I could have been in newsies.
You could have been
know.
A newsies.
I could have been a newsie. Okay, great. Those are our skills. Now we got to figure out what's the job and who am I? I'll tell you who I am. I'm your boss. So who's your boss?
James, who's like the head newsy?
I mean, in the musical, Jack. In real life, his name is Kid Blink and he's
such a
got an eye
name.
Patch and he's Ginger. It's a cool name.
Like in real life?
Yeah, like in like real life, he has an eye patch. He's so cool.
Wait, in like 1899?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so we were talking about him in present tense, and I was like, wait, is he still alive?
Still here.
No, I talk about things about me is that I talk about historical characters as if they're like
they're
my
here.
Friends or like my worst enemies.
Yeah, my buddy.
My buddy, my guy, Kid Blink. You know, Newsy Strike, 1899.
Exactly from 1899.
I do, though.
Like, like, I don't know what year it is after the apocalypse, but, like, our boss was from 1899.
Ooh, still kicking. That'd be cool, though.
That's still kicking.
Wrinkliest old person.
Yeah. Like, still looks like a tiny newsie. Like, still wears a hidden wrinkly outfit and everything.
Oh my gosh.
But it's like, I have seen man-made horrors beyond your comprehension, but it's like a three-year-old.
I've seen horrors you couldn't believe.
This is Boss Baby with a New York accent.
It's a living.
I've seen wonders you wouldn't believe.
All right, we're going to go with that, I think. What did you say the name, James, was of the...
Kid Blink was his name.
Kid Blink?
Kid Blink. It was his nickname. Lewis something was his actual
name. I can't believe there was a one-eyed historical figure named Kid Blink.
Who was
a ginger.
And
when they decided to turn his story into a musical, they renamed him Jack?
Jack. Upsetting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're not repeating that mistake.
Kid Blink erasure.
Kid Blink lives on.
I imagine that Kid Blink in, like, the gritty post-apocalypse movie is, like, our Samuel L. Jackson type figure.
Also with the eye patch.
Yeah. Oh.
Mm.
I love that. Are we going to go with Kid Blink, or are we going to go with Old Man Blink?
Ooh, tough decisions here.
That's a decision.
I just really enjoy Old Man. Like, I just have this wonderful thing of, like, surrounded by these eternally young newsies and this one old as balls guy. It's like, I have one little mission for you folks.
Old man. Old man it is.
I'm a big fan of that. All right. I'm your boss, Old Man Blink.
That sounds like a command.
Old man, blink.
Do it right now.
and what's the job? We got to deliver one last newspaper.
One last newspaper. It's got to be to a really, really hard place to get to, though.
Yeah. What's the headline? Right. What's so important?
Or maybe, like, getting the headline is the thing. Like, maybe someone has been keeping this super big story, and we have to, like, get that story so that we can make fuck ton of bank.
Yeah.
Agree.
All right. So, what would be, I like that a lot. What would be the big story in the apocalypse?
They found a cure for the radiation poisoning.
We found it.
You gotta get the word out. Yeah.
We did it.
So just to clarify what exactly it is we're doing. Mm-hmm. Are we delivering the papers with the story to people, or are you, like, getting the scoop on because, you know, there's got to be trials and tribulations on the way there. You know what I mean? There's got to be some obstacles.
Yeah.
So what's the challenge here?
I think that it might be fun to have to uncover the headline and then get it out to people.
We got to get the scoop and then deliver
it before our rival group.
Okay. Yeah. So there's two pieces of this.
Yeah.
Scoop. Getting the scoop.
A milestone.
All right. I like that. Then I guess my question becomes, where are you getting the scoop from?
I mean, not to be super on the nose, well, not really on the nose, but very cliche. It's always like there's some, like, weird government facility that somehow survived that's like underground, and there's bunkers and rich people paid to be there, and also very clever people are there. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like,
I am a big fan of secret government facilities. Oh, anyone who knows me will tell you that.
Yeah.
Gee, my name's Alex Kingsley, and I just love those secret government facilities.
I love big government facilities.
They really
quote me on that.
So I can see, like, how there will be challenges getting into the secret government facility to, like, you know, find out, like, oh, wow, it's an actual cure. Also, they've been experimenting on people, and I'm not sure what the ethics of that are.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right. I'm super into that. I really like how I said that immediately after you said they're experimenting on people,
and I'm into that.
Hell yeah!
All right, I believe we have all the information we need to get going. Let's do it. Okay, so how it's gonna go is I'm gonna set the scene for just like the beginning of this story, and then I'm gonna pull in. I'm gonna give a hook, a prompt for the first player to hop in. And then that player is going to introduce their character, who I will have already kind of introduced, set up that scene, and then introduce the next character. And then whoever wants to hop in after that hops in, and then we keep going until everybody's in the game, everybody's got a character with hopefully some traits, as you do with characters. And we'll see how it goes from there. I'm going to set the scene for you. The year 2067. This is a soon apocalypse. This is happening soon. And the sky is red and clouded with a dusty haze. We pan down to see a throne of rotting newspapers. And sitting on that throne is none other than Old Man Blink. He's wearing a tiny little white button-down shirt, red suspenders, brown plaid pants, and a little newsboy cap. And if you were to look at him, just glance, you'd think, oh, there's a little boy. But no, he is old and wrinkled and sagging, and he is just a disgusting old guy who is still clinging to the newspaper empire that he once held in the 1890s. But all of his newsboys have gone off and gone to bigger and better things, and then far worse things, because then the apocalypse happened. So he's not doing so great. He's sitting on this throne, and one of his old newsboys says, comes running down the street, pursued by radiation creatures. They're called the grinders. They're called the grinders because what they do, they're like zombies, but they just kind of they grind up your bones, and it's real nasty. So he's got a golf club and he is swinging at these grinders, and finally he makes it up to Old Man Blink and he says, "Oh boy, Old Man Blink, do I got a story for you?" And Old Man Blink says, "Oh, a story, you say?" And then the kid says, "Oh yeah, I heard that down one of those government facilities, they got a cure for these crazies out here in the apocalypse." And Old Man Blink says, all right. "If this story is true, I'm gonna need some of my best old newsies back here to get the scoop." And when he says scoop, his whole body kind of jerks, like reflexively, because old habits die hard. Because apparently that's one of his old habits. And he says, "All right, I know just the person to get this scoop. Little Susie Three Legs. Nobody knows where the third leg is, but boy, when we find out, little Susie Three Legs has always been good at breaking into government facilities. I think it's because of her ridiculously long fingernails and her proclivity for collecting scrap metal. You better go run along, find her, bring her back to me, and then we'll talk." So the unnamed newsy, who I'm going to call Gib, is going to run down and find little Sally Three Legs.
Susie, I believe.
In character.
So he's like, "Sally?" And she's just like, she's like sipping on like radioactive something. She goes, like, throws the can at the person. She's wearing, like, ripped up overalls with too many pockets, and every pot, so she just jangles when she walks because they are just full of scrap metal. And on the overalls, there's like a little side pocket, like, you know how the butt flaps of like long johns, they have those. But she has one of those on her hip so that she can put her third leg back there when they finally find it. Little Susie Three Legs. so that she can regain her final form. You know, she was a radiation baby. So she had three legs, but then somebody took it.
No,
and by God, she's gonna get it back. And as she walks in, like, to the boss's newspaper palace, you just hear like the scrape of her fingernails on the floor as an intimidation tactic. And she has a voice. Have we decided that they are kids? Are they kids?
I think it's up to you.
I think Susie is like a jaded 19-year-old. She's like, oh, I've seen horrors like you'll never believe. My entire life is behind me. What is next for me? She goes, yeah, boss, I know I can do it. But you're gonna owe me big time. If I do this for you, then you're gonna have to put all of your resources into finding my leg. Because I gave so much for you. And I'm not going to give that much again. I got two left. They called me three legs. I've got two left. Look what's become of me. I'm not going to be able to do this alone. I'm going to need. And she gets choked up because she's thinking about her first crush. See, the only thing in my head is Crush, Crush, Crush by Paramore. So I think this person is named Crush Paramore.
Oh, that's sick. Like,
you're going to need to bring in a Crush Paramore. You remember them. I know they were the absolute best. And I looked up to them so much. You could call them a triple threat. You know, they could do the jumpy splits in the air. And they could sing like nobody's business. And they were really, really good at interrogating people using terrible and horrifying methods. But, you know, they glue better than anyone else. They had the brightest shine. And they really loved doing 8-foot vertical leaps. But you know, I'm gonna need Crush Paramore if we're gonna be doing anything.
Alright, I'll send for Crush Paramore, even though they did kick my teeth in that one time, so I'm not particularly pleased.
So he sends that kid off and gets Crush Paramore.
I think that Crush Paramore is being followed by a grinder, and there is there's sort of like a 7-foot-tall platform right above them, and I think they are going to do an 8-foot vertical leap up onto the platform, where they pull the street sign out of the sort of metal area that it was in, and they're going to just bash this grinder over the head with the street sign.
Bonk.
Absolutely fantastic.
Hell yeah. And then this kid comes running up to that, first sees that and goes, oh golly gee, Crush, you're just as agile and violent as I remember. We got a job for you. What do you say?
Well, I don't know. What's in it for me?
The cure to the radiation.
Oh golly gee, why didn't you just say that before?
Because I was distracted by all the grinder guts you got on me. Oh, I'm dripping.
Well, that's a you problem.
You come and crush.
Absolutely. Let me just do a leap off this. All right. Where are we going?
Wow, that was an incredible leap. I've never seen someone do three flips in the air.
That sounded like you said Dula Peep.
Dula Peep. I love the audio medium. It's my favorite.
Dula Peep.
I love doing this so much.
Okay, great. So Crush arrives at this throne of newspapers, and once Crush kind of gets the lay of the land, figures out what the situation is, what do they say? What's the response?
I think they're just gonna like just look around at the throne of newspapers, maybe just like inspect one, maybe poke one with the street sign that still has grinder guts on it.
Who does Crush think we should bring in next?
Dula Peep, obviously.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that name and maybe spell it for my note taking?
Dula Peep is here.
Oh no. Oh, I love
Dula Peep.
That.
Dula Peep taught me everything I know. about Newsian.
All right, I could consider asking Doula Peep, but I don't know if she's gonna be interested after the time that, little Susie's your name, right, Sally?
It's Susie.
Oh, I got a terrible memory. I'm sorry, little Susie. And after
the things I did for you, I get no respect. No respect for it.
Yeah. Well, I stopped respecting you after you stole Doula Peep's cat.
It was
so
cute.
So I don't think Doula Peep is really going to want to work with us.
It was cute, and my girlfriend at the time really wanted one, and you know, you really got it. You gotta do what you gotta do. U-Hauls don't drive themselves these days, you know?
All right, fair enough. I'm just saying, I don't think she's gonna be too pleased.
I'm sure she would understand. Why don't you call her? Why don't you call Doula Peep? She blocks
right,
my number.
but Crush, why do you think Doula Peep is gonna be good for this job?
Because of that time she impersonated a government agent and was able to hack into their systems.
Ooh.
All right, well, you can't beat that. She's the best goddamn impersonator this side of Brooklyn! And when he says Brooklyn, his whole body kind of jerks.
He's having a strong...
He's having a strong... This is just how he is. He's just a little twitchy guy. He just goes, this side of Brooklyn, and by this side of Brooklyn, I mean the side that broke off from the rest and floated off into the Atlantic Ocean. That's right, we're on Brooklyn Island.
Brooklyn Island.
It's like Staten Island, but somehow worse.
And I didn't think it could get worse than Staten Island, yeah, here we are.
American jokes.
Okay.
I definitely understand these.
Trust me, the American audience is gonna love it. Doula Peep, where are you and what are you doing?
So I think what happens is we find Doula Peep and she looks kind of adorable. She's sitting, she's got this little broken China doll like playset. She's having a tea party, as you do. And behind her, there's like a heap of like laundry that you just know is the disguises that she's taken from all the people that she's, you know, definitely not offed in mysterious ways during her time working as a newsie. And you know, she has, you know, a few other cats roaming around. She's adopted Mole since that first one was so cruelly stolen by Susie Three Legs. And you know, these cats are fine, but they don't have the same eight legs that first cat did. And like,
we have a theme of legs going on.
We love legs.
This is the thing. This is why she knows it's gotta be Susie. Susie's been so obsessed with finding that third leg that anything that has excess legs, she's just gotta have it. She's just gotta have it. And, you know, so there she is, and I presume that she's having a nice little time, like, feeding her cats, like, I don't know, grinder guts or something, when our friend Jeb comes
running in and kind of, like, tiptoeing to try to not step on the cats, and he's like, Doula Peep, is that you?
Why, yes, it is me. Such a pleasure to see you.
He blushes and he's like, oh golly gee, Doula, it's been so long. I forgot. I just started Mickey Mouse for a second.
That was, oh boy.
That was not the voice.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to be Betty Boop. It's that little, that's really what we're aiming for. Anyway, yeah, what can I do you for, Jeb? You know, I'm just out here, I'm having a tea party. Oh, would you like some tea?
And she gestures towards this, like, green sludge in a kettle that is almost definitely not tea and is probably very poisonous.
Jeb is kind of blushing, and he's like, well, completely lost the accent. Not that I've had much of one to begin with. So, well, you know, Doula, I can't all
probably say no to some tea. All right. You're looking mighty. I'm going so southern.
Just say Brooklyn. Tea. Say Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Sunken Brooklyn. So he's going to take some of the tea and he's going to try really hard to drink it and he can't and he's going to spit it all over a cat.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's definitely like toothpaste levels of thick. Like, this thing is not going to move when you tip your mug.
He kind of like tries. He kind of getting it with his teeth and then he just can't do it and just kind of. And then he goes, Dula, thank you for your hospitality, but the real reason I'm here is because you remember Old Man Blink?
Oh, I remember Old Man Blink. He was, wasn't he just, interesting fella.
You mean the greatest boss in the world? Yeah!
Sure. Still friends with that Susie, though. I'll never forgive her for taking my cupcake mattress. All good cats have two names. Cupcake Mattress is the greatest name in the world, and this is the best cat.
Dula, I do remember Cupcake Mattress, and I remember Cupcake Mattress was a sweet kitty, but I think you gotta let it go to come get the biggest scoop yet for Old Man Blink and the gang. Are you in?
The biggest scoop yet. Why, that does sound interesting. And, I mean, well, so long as I can have a chance to, really have it out with Susie, I suppose. Yeah,
oh,
all right, then. Yeah, all I'm right. Gonna come.
Here we go.
Come on, Petal, let's go.
Is Petal a cat?
No, she's calling you Petal.
I'm Petal?
Okay. Petal. like a sweet, like a little cutesy name. I'm just bad at accents.
Oh, okay. I see. I thought you were taking a cat with you.
Oh, no. The cats are just going to follow in her wake.
Like okay, so the cats are totally coming. The cats are involved.
The cats are involved.
They're a package deal.
Of their own volition.
Susie goes nowhere without her cats. Not Susie. Fuck.
Dula.
I'm okay. Dula, not Susie.
So when
no,
Dula
Susie wants what I have.
when Dula arrives and hears about the situation, what does she think?
Well, I think she like takes a little moment, like pets some of her cats that are sort of swarming around her feet, and she sort of goes Well, I think this is a real nice little get together, I suppose. Hi, Crush. And I guess it seems like a really good cause and all, but I guess I just don't know how we're gonna do this if we don't have Mr. Bucket. We need Mr. Bucket.
Mr. Bucket! You're telling me you want me to hire my own son?
Well, yes. He's really very, very talented. We need someone who is not only good at getting a scoop, is good at writing up that scoop and getting people's attention. And, well, I just think that someone who has, weird, like, inky fingers all of the time, even when there should be no ink. It's like, you'll always have a way of finger painting a newspaper. Always. It's wonderful. It's perfect crime. All he needs is some paper and we can just get it going immediately.
All right. I suppose if you want Mr. Bucket on the team, despite the fact that he's always covered in greasy ink like a little meatball.
I'll tell you one more thing that it really helps with. Because he's always covered in this greasy ink, it means he can slip through some really tight spaces. I've seen him get in through things that really can't be more than a few inches wide, and I don't know how he does that. Maybe he just dislocates his bones or something, but,
He came out of the womb that way. I saw it myself. It was disgusting. he just shot out, covered in ink, and Little did I know that he was going to go on to be my journalistic rival.
Ooh.
But if you want Mr. Bucket, you're going to get. All right, Jeb, go get him. Take it away.
So you find Mr. Bucket in a tiny little shack. And outside the door, there's a sign that says Staten Island, but the stat in Staten is crossed out, and it says Manhattan. And so it says Manhattan Island, which he wishes he lived on Manhattan Island, but unfortunately stuck here. So, yeah, and as Jeb goes up to the rickety old door, there's a lot of, like, crashing inside. And if when he walks in, there's just things all over the floor, and there's something in the corner making noises in the corner. And goes, and you hear from the corner,
"Oh, who is it?"
So Jeb comes running up and says, "Mr. Bucket, you around here?"
"Yeah, that's me. What do you want? What do you want? What are you doing here?"
"You remember me? It's me,
Jeb." "Do I remember you? I don't remember anything past what I ate for breakfast today. What are you doing here? This is my house."
"Yeah, I know it's your house. That's why I came looking for you here."
"Well, yeah, you'll find me here."
What you want to come back to work for your father? We got a real big scoop, and we think you're the one to write it."
"My father's got a scoop? Well, that's a first."
"You betcha."
"You know what? I got nothing better to do. Sure, I literally have nothing better to do. I will come with you. You know what? Sure. Here, hi. You can call me Wet."
I'm shaking your hand, and it's disgusting. I'm covered
in ink. I know! Isn't it great?
Where does ink come from?
Wish I could tell you.
I can't even see what orifice it's coming out of.
Oh.
You know? Oh. All of them. I mean, as far as I know, it's just how it happens. Like I said, I can't remember anything before breakfast, so...
You're right. You always had a bad memory.
That's always and what... forever. Of course, I can't remember that either.
All right, let's go.
Wet bucket, Wolf.
Wet bucket.
I'll cry briefly also. He's probably wearing a very, very greasy, beat-up Newsies hat. And, you know the, work overalls that are, like, really, really big? And, like, they look big on literally everyone who wears them? Like that, yes. Except just pants.
So, Wet Bucket gets to the throne of newspapers, gets told the whole situation, and what does Wet Bucket have to say?
"Well, that's, quite a lot, but wow, I would sure not like to deal with these, critter things anymore. Critters? Spiders. What are they called?
Grinders?
You never could remember anything. Oh.
I never could. Who are you again?"
"I'm your father!"
"Dad? I thought you left me when I was, like, 10!
I raised you!"
"You raised me? Well, that's not what a father's supposed to do now, is it?"
"Well, I must have gone wrong somewhere, because you started your own journalistic empire."
"I did?
And you left me in the dust."
"Oh, I'm pretty high up there then. Hey, why are you talking to me like that then? I'm probably more important than you. Anyway, you know, I know one person who's more important than me, though, and who would probably like to help on this job. And that would be..." "Oh, God. Well, now I can't remember the name.
Come on, Wet.
You remember what it rhymes with. Also, hey, Wet. Hey, Mr. Bucket. Hi. Happy to see you again."
"I don't know you, but nice to meet you. Here, shake my hand."
"Hey. Yep, it's Wet, like my name." "Always.
Thanks. well, I think it rhymed with, like, swamp. Swamp. Swamp.
Oh, I think it was
you mean Glomp?
You mean Glomp?
No!
Glomp! You can bring Glomp onto the team? But Glomp! Glomp was wild!
Glomp wild?
Yeah, that's right! Glomp was wild, as in Glomp was part of the infamous Wild family!
Oh my god, well, yeah, I mean, like, probably, that's probably right.
Why do you think Glomp Wild would want to do this?
You know what? I can't remember. It probably had something to do with, like, what was his family's name again?
Wild?
Wild! Well, don't we like, there's the Wild West somewhere, isn't there?
Well, Glomp Wild was a cowboy!
He's a cowboy! He probably wants to, I don't know, feed his cows. And we all know the cows eat newspapers.
We do. The Wild family cattle had very strange dietary restrictions.
But Wild's cowherding abilities made them especially well-suited for horrendous acts of violence.
Violence?
I didn't know that a cow was capable of such acts of cruelty until I saw the Wild cattle.
All right, tell us what Glomp Wild is up to.
Did we insinuate that Glomp Wild is a cow or just has cow-like abilities?
Half cow, half boy?
Wait, I thought we insinuated that Glomp Wild was a cowboy with murderous cows.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Are we thinking like sort of a minotaur deal or?
The opposite way.
That's completely up to Glomp Wild himself.
Oh, Glomp Wild is in fact half cow, half boy. And you find him on his deserted little ranch all by him, not by his lonesome. He actually has his kid sister by him, Stephanie. He's got Stephanie and she's making boo-boo in her diaper. And he misses his job as a newsie so much, he's writing down the headline, "Local girl makes boo-boo in her pants." And he's trying to get, he misses the thrill of it so much. And he goes, "Ah, Stephanie, I miss this so much out here on Brooklyn Island. I've got nothing to do. I've got no news. I've just got you and the other half of my body. Moo, I'm a cow."
Is it, like, split in half, like, down the center? Or is it, like, top half, bottom half type deal? Yeah.
Paint us a picture.
I say upper half boy, lower half cow. So I have udders. He can be milked. Don't do it, though. Don't try it.
Okay. So, Glomp Wild, trans king.
Trans cowboy.
Yes! Glomp is a trans cowboy.
Diversity win!
Diversity win!
This is an absolute win!
The violent half-boy, half-cow who just joined your new newspaper organization is trans.
It's trans!
We love them.
So, Jeb is gonna come running up. Where did you say? You're out on a farm?
Yeah, I'm out on my ranch.
Where's your ranch geographically?
The Brooklyn Bridge. The Brooklyn Bridge, but it's cut in half because the island split off.
Brooklyn Island. So on a fraction of the Brooklyn Bridge, and what animals do you raise on your farm?
Ants. Y'all ever see ant farm?
So Jeb is gonna run up the Brooklyn Bridge because it's like split. It's like at an angle.
Yeah.
So he's running up the Brooklyn Bridge and he's weaving around all these lines of ants and he's going, "Glomp, Glomp Wild, I recognize those cow legs anywhere."
Jeb, is that you?
I'm so glad you remembered me, Glomp. I thought maybe you would have forgotten.
I would have never forgotten you, Jeb.
Oh, Glomp, it's been so long. We got another job for you, Glomp. What do you say you come back and work for Old Man Blink?
I've been waiting for this one. Let's go.
What about your little sister?
She's on my back. She's riding him. Little Stephanie is ready to go. It's a family endeavor.
Are you sure that a 10-year-old girl should still be wearing a diaper?
She's 10! She's 10 and she's boo-booing in her pants!
Why have you done this?
Oh, God. To be fair, she lives on the Brooklyn Bridge.
What he meant to say was 10 months.
No, you know what? You're right. She should really learn how to go doo-doo in a toilet. But we don't got none. This is the apocalypse. Ah, what are you gonna do?
Ah, fair enough. All right, let's go.
And we're off.
The gang. The gang's back together.
All right. The gang.
We have the gang.
The gang is all back together. So you're all gonna gather around a table that's not a table. It's just a bunch of old newspapers that are moldy and wet and kind of rotted together into a lump that you're using as a table. And Old Man Blank is drawing out the scene. And is going, all right, kids. Now that we all got you back together for the biggest scoop of the century, the cure to radiation poisoning and the end of the scourge of the grinders, we gotta get a plan together for how we're gonna do this. They're keeping the cure. They're keeping it in an underground government compound so that only the rich people, only the 1%, okay, there's a little bit of Bernie Sanders sneaking in, I'm sorry. Only the 1% can get access to the cure. So first thing you gotta do is break into through the door.
The door of where?
The government compound, Glomp.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, it's really not that difficult. I have done it once before. I mean, they probably hide in security since then, but it can be
However,
done.
It is my specialty, and I'd like to add, just as a general statement, that, you know, I feel a little excluded. You said hi to everyone explicitly except for me.
Oh, I did!
Not you! I was talking about, Dula.
Dula? You steal my cat? You steal my precious cupcake mattress and you forget my name?
No, I wasn't forgetting. I was just stuttering because I haven't seen you in so long and I thought we could just let bygones be bygones. And she's like holding, like there is obviously something trying to pop out of the chest pocket of her overalls and she's like actively pushing it down. Like, you know, I thought we could just let bygones be bygones. We got a mission to do and you know, it's very hard because she's trying to like be careful about her really long nails. If we got breaking and entering to do, you know I love to do that, but I just wish we could be cordial about it. I've dropped my pen between a crack in two different containers in my closet. I don't think I'm ever gonna be able to get that back, so we're flying blind.
Oh boy.
Crush Paramore bends down and picks it up, but they bend down really slowly. They bend down really slowly and just sort of...
We're canonically in a closet.
And,
okay, we... All of us. I, Emily, have dropped my pen, but Susie also dropped her pen in the scramble to push the cat back into her overalls. And is just, like, bright. I don't think the blush is red. I think the blush, like, glows because it's radioactive.
Your
but just like
that's so cool, like, that imagery.
Thank you, Crush. It's been so long. I hadn't seen you in a while.
All right. When are you two gonna, you know, just get all of this over with and just, you know, make with
what
the romance?
There's so much tension at this table.
I mean, bygones are bygones. I haven't seen Crush in a long time. Why is your kid sister here?
My kid sister.
Yeah, Glomp, why is your kid sister here?
You think I'm just gonna leave Stephanie all by herself out on the Brooklyn Bridge at the family ranch? She can't take care of those ants.
Brooklyn?
She's 10 months old. She can fend for herself.
Oh, man, I'm farther from home than I thought.
So once we break in, what do you think our next step is, boss?
Well, that was country.
Well,
I expect you're going to find some armed guards. I expect that's going to be the first thing. You need someone. You need someone who can really fight.
Well, I guess I could remove their arms if they're armed.
Yeah, I mean, you could just take off their arms.
Just do horrendous acts of violence to him, you know.
Oh, I do that. I can do that.
We do have someone with massive cow legs.
Hey, watch it.
I'm sorry, normal size.
They're very muscular.
Very muscular. Excuse me, Glomp. I'm sorry, how's your
name? That's Glomp. I'm so behind.
Oh, yes, Wet. Yes, Wet Bucket.
Mr. Bucket, what's going on here?
Mr. Bucket, remember me? Is that me? Yeah, I'm Mr. Bucket. I think I suggested you for this. What are we doing again?
We're saving the world.
Glomp, I'm sure you remember Wet Bucket, my son.
I don't remember you. Wait, you're my dad?
Can't remember a goddamn thing. All right. We got Glomp taking out the gods. But then after that, it's a real doozy. They got that infrared shit with the alarms. That's crisscrossing all over the place.
That's your neck.
Like the lasers?
The lasers. They got the lasers. And the only way to turn off the lasers is if someone could sneak their way across them.
I mean, I could just go under them.
Lasers
aren't that bad once you get used to them.
Fantastic.
Mr. Bucket's on the job.
I was imagining someone who's real good at acrobatics.
Yeah, or maybe someone who's got an eight foot vertical leap.
Someone who's got an eight foot vertical leap.
Don't make Wet Bucket do this. He's gonna forget that he's doing it anyway.
I would like to see Mr. Bucket try. I think it would be very amusing for all of us.
Yeah, for Mr. Bucket to have the first attempt.
As a treat, yes. We all get to watch.
Just lighten the mood a little bit, you know.
Yep. God, I'm so sorry.
I guess I could dodge and weave through the lasers and everything. Hope there's no 9-foot platforms, that would be unfortunate.
You never know. You never know with these government people. All right, but this one, I don't know about this one. I don't know who's gonna do this one. We got, there's a lounge on the way to the vaccine room, the medicine room. That's where they keep the cure. It's in the medicine room. And they got a lounge on the way, and they only let celebrities in. So
I'm a celebrity.
Mr. Bucket.
Mr. Bucket, I don't.
I got a haircut appointment. I'm gonna step outside and do that real quick.
Mr. Bucket, come back to the table.
He steps outside, realizes there's an apocalypse, comes back in.
I know someone who can do impressions, but they're being a little bit of an asshole right now.
Well. Ms. Susie Three Legs. Where's that other leg of yours, by the way? Oh, no, wait, we're not supposed to talk about that.
No, that's a touchy subject. You're playing low blows, Doolabee.
Listen, Susie, sweetheart, it's not that I don't like you. I mean, it's a little bit that I don't like you. I'm happy to do this cordially, but I just gotta know that my cupcake mattress is safe, and I just don't trust that you're feeding her the right stuff. Like, she's gotta get her 8 scoopfuls of grinder guts a day.
Yeah, she's on that raw diet.
Exactly! Well, I'm glad you remembered that much, at least.
My girlfriend's taking care of her. Or at least, she was. Looks off into the distance.
Yeah, we all know about how, Your girlfriend that you liked so much betrayed you because you're just too goddamn trusting.
It's a hard life to lead, but somebody's gotta lead it. But once we get past that lounge, we got what we really came here for. We don't need to discuss my love life. Not here. Not now.
Well, there's one more thing past the lounge. There's one more thing.
What do we gotta do, boss?
Oh, I don't know who's gonna do this one. I don't even know if I should say it. It's just so difficult to get past. I don't know if it's even worth it. I think maybe we should just call it right here. I don't think any...
Boss, say it. You gotta.
All right, I'll say it. There's a hallway. And the hallway
is covered in spikes.
Whoa!
And I don't think anyone could get through it unless they were naturally slippery like a slug.
Well, I guess we better call it then, because I have no idea who's going to do that one.
Wait a minute, Mr. Bucket! Mr. Bucket, look what? At your hands!
Oh my gosh!
Oh, how can I forget?
I'm slippery! I'm wet! That's perfect!
We got the plan, boss.
All right, newsies. The good, the gang is back together again. What was it that they used to call us back in the day?
The Jonas Brothers.
The Jonas Brothers
are back.
The Backstreet Boys.
We're finally back together.
The Backstreet Boys.
See, the thing is, y'all are saying Jonas Brothers. I thought we were the Jonas Brothers.
See what you did there. Do you guys know what you did there?
Doodle Peep, how can I forget? How can I forget our street name? The Jonas Brothers are back together again.
And of course, the street sign with which I hit the grind is, you know, Joe Street, everybody's favorite street that we used to do new things
exactly.
on.
In fact, exactly. you can see as we're at this table that there's like this broken, fallen sign that says Joe Street, where Aww. We're meeting. So that we're on our old spot, but no one would know because Brooklyn Island looks so different than it once did.
Crush Paramore did try to put the street sign back, but it didn't.
They kept hopping up to the top of the signpost, but it just wouldn't stick. All right, kids. Only you, the best newsies in the business, can save the world from the apocalypse. Are you in?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think I got a hair appointment, actually. I should probably go out and do that. Step outside again, realize.
There's a wipe. There's like the fade out.
we have a little like time lapse. We're like, okay, we'll wait for you, Mr. Bucket. Mr. Bucket goes to get a haircut and then comes back and is like, okay, well, I'm ready now.
He realizes as soon as he steps outside that there's an apocalypse and he doesn't have a hair appointment. Comes back in.
Yeah, no, I got nothing better to do.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it. And with that, we have our setup for our heist.
Yes.
And we're going to stop there for now. So, gang, everybody, listeners, come back next week to see what happens to the Jonas Brothers and their journey to get the big scoop on the cure for the radiation poisoning that's turning people into bone-grinding zombies. This is the only post-apocalyptic newsy story out there, and you're only going to get it right here at Strong Branching Out with our gang from Neighborly. Tune in next week. Everybody say bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.